So quick to choose the path walked by the righteous, so you can go and nest among the weak. The innocent observers will refuse to find the lie within. Renew the disappointment of the meek.
Chapter 14. What the fuck just happened? Derek asks, with the rest of the pack clamoring behind him as they charge into the front hallway. Styles has to take a moment to catch his breath. Chris fucking Argent happened, he snarls, jogging onto the front porch to see Chris's taillights disappearing from the Hale house's ample driveway. God damn it! Okay? He has to stop and force himself to take a deep breath. They've planned for things like this. They have contingencies. He just has to keep his head.
Should we follow them? Derek asks, already halfway into his shoes.
Yeah, Styles says. Or more accurately, we should go after them. We don't have to follow his car. Peter has a locator spell tattooed on his ankle. He got it the same time I got my first tattoos. It was a precaution in case we ever had to split up.
Okay, Derek says. But we don't have much time.
Styles lets out another breath. No, we do. Kate won't kill him. I mean, for one thing, that's just how she is. But secondly, Kate's smart enough to know she can't leave a loose end like me dangling in the wind. She'll wait until I show up. She can still wait for you to show up after he's dead, Laura says, her voice tight. But she won't, because she knows, or at least assumes, that I'm tracking him magically. And the spell won't work if he's dead. Styles shakes his head. No, she has to keep him alive until I get there. Derek, can we take your car? We might need to make a quick getaway. No, scratch that. The Camaro might be faster, but it's too distinctive. I don't want you to end up in trouble.
It's fine if you...
Nope, I'm good. Let me grab some stuff. Styles trots out to the car without waiting to see if anyone's following him and pops open the trunk. He has a gun that he's never actually fired for anything other than target practice. Two knives and a variety of less traditional weapons. He tucks them all away and then dives into the driver's seat. Before he can put the car in gear, the side door opens and Derek gets in.
I'm going with you.
You shouldn't, Styles says. You said you didn't want to be anywhere near Kate.
I don't. But if anything happens, I might be able to help you or Peter get to safety.
Styles wants to argue, but truth be told, he's off kilter from what happened to Peter. He's never gone into a situation alone. So he nods and says, okay, but stay back if things go south. In fact, if you're coming, you can drive. That way I can focus on the spell. Peter jolts awake, feeling like his brain is three sizes too large for his skull. He grunts slightly as he takes in his surroundings. His wrists are handcuffed behind his back, and he's been tossed across the back seat of a car.
Really, Chris?
He manages, his voice hoarse.
Shut up, Chris replies.
Peter glances around, rolling his shoulders.
Where's Styles?
At the den, Chris says, then adds, well, probably not anymore.
You left him behind.
Peter's eyebrows go up.
You know he'll only follow you. You could have brought him. He would have let you, you know. Put him in handcuffs or knock him out or whatever you felt you had to do. If it meant he wouldn't be separated from me. And I'm pretty sure Kate would have told you to bring both of us.
The line of Chris's jaw is tight and angry. After a moment, he says,
yes, I could have brought him, but I didn't.
Peter thinks about this, listens to Chris's heartbeat, and assesses his scent. There's so much fear and rage to him, but there's something else underneath it. A grim sort of resolve.
Where are we going?
The distillery.
A good place for an ambush. Peter nods. You bring me there. Keep Kate distracted while you rescue your daughter. It'll give Styles an opportunity that we might not have gotten any other way.
Chris still doesn't turn to look at him, but he says,
she was going to keep going through intermediaries. Derek, Scott, now me. You never would have gotten a direct shot at her. When she kidnapped Allison, I saw a chance and I took it.
Peter nods, then says, You know, you could have just told us.
Would you have trusted me?
Chris finally glances over his shoulder.
I'm well aware of the things I've done, or more accurately, the things I haven't done. Would you have believed me if I'd come to you and said, Hey, I want to take you and Stiles out to the abandoned distillery, and I absolutely promise my sister hasn't got snipers set up?
Well, not if you'd phrased it like that, Peter says, rolling his eyes. He chews it over for a moment, and then agrees. No, I wouldn't have. Stiles might have, but not me.
Chris nods a little and says nothing. His point made. After a moment, he says, What do you think his plan is going to be?
Peter casts his memory back to the distillery. It's been such a long time since he's been there. Can you put me near the center of the main room?
Sure, easy enough. Scott and Allison are...
Chris stops and clears his throat.
Chained to some of the pipes off to the side.
Then he'll come in from above, drop down on Kate and surprise her. His primary goal will be to separate her from me, and then take her out.
Peter wiggles a little, testing the handcuffs, and stops when he feels them start to give.
These aren't silver reinforced.
No, they're just regular handcuffs, Chris says.
You use those for business or pleasure?
Peter asks, smirking. I'm not dignifying that, Chris replies. Peter's smirk just becomes more pronounced, but he returns to the matter at hand.
What about Gerard? Do we need to factor him in?
He's on his way, but I don't think he's here yet. He told Kate not to move until he got here, but, well... Chris shrugs. You know Kate.
That I do.
He looks up as the car crunches onto some gravel, and then stops.
Let's get this show on the road.
Stiles closes his eyes as Derek pulls out onto the road and focuses on the feel of Peter at the other end of the spell. He dictates directions as best as he can to Derek, although they're often somewhat vague, like,
Take a right turn at some point?
The spell doesn't work as a roadmap. They have to stop and turn around twice. After about 20 minutes, Derek says,
I know this road. We're going to the old distillery.
That makes sense, Stiles says, opening his eyes. Gerard's used it before. He probably told Kate about it.
That or he's here,
Derek says, fingers tightening on the steering wheel. He parks about a quarter mile away, so nobody will hear them coming. There are two cars outside the distillery, both SUVs. Stiles hopes that means that Gerard's not there, although he supposes that he could have ridden with Kate. They quietly move up to the back of the distillery, where there's a small window that he can peek through. The situation inside isn't great, although it could definitely be worse. Peter is on his back on the floor, and he's regained consciousness, but Kate has a foot on his stomach and a stun baton pressed into his throat. She looks amused. Allison is still there, and so is Scott, a fact that makes Stiles curse under his breath. Scott is chained to a beam with his arms above his head, feet dangling a few inches above the floor. It looks like Allison had been chained the same way, but Chris has just gotten her down.
We have to wait until he gets Scott down, too, Stiles says, reporting all this to Derek in a low murmur.
How are we going to get Peter?
Derek asks.
I'm not sure yet.
Stiles is thinking this over. A stun baton at Peter's throat isn't great, but it's by far better than a gun. He can survive a few shocks. He risks another quick look and sees that Kate has a gun, too, in a holster by her side, as well as a rifle that's sitting on a nearby table. He's going to have to take her down before she can get to either of those. He watches as Chris helps Allison sit down, then reaches up to free Scott. He's saying something to Kate, but the thick walls of the distillery prevent Stiles from hearing. He traces over one of the symbols on his arms and then draws it on the window.
Both of them, Kate is saying, But sure, okay, do half the job I told you to. You'd better have my back when the kid shows up.
Have your own fucking back, Chris replies, undoing the bindings around Scott's wrists and easing him down. You're lucky I'm not putting a bullet in your head right now.
Bitch, 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 Kate says, clearly not feeling threatened at all. I'm faster on the draw than you, and we both know it.
Styles loses patience with their conversation quickly. He can't bring himself to wait, not knowing how long it's going to be before Chris decides to leave. He doesn't know whether Chris will be an ally or an enemy now that Allison and Scott are at least partially out of harm's way. It's no coincidence or mistake that Chris hadn't even tried to capture him. Styles is well aware that Chris could have killed him. Chris had had him dead to rights. Even if he hadn't wanted to kill him, he could have shot him in the leg or shoulder to slow him down. But he hadn't. Chris had created this opportunity for him. Styles hates that he had to hurt Peter to do it, but he's sure as hell not gonna pass it by.
Stay outside, he says to Derek. Okay?
Derek hesitates, then nods.
Be careful.
I will be. Hey, can you give me a boost?
Derek looks at him quizzically, and Styles explains his plan. Derek nods in understanding and makes his hands into a stirrup. Styles places one foot in them and jumps as Derek gives a heave upward, catching the lip of the roof and pulling himself up onto it. He estimates about where Kate had been standing with Peter under her foot, then traces his finger over one of the tattoos to see through the ceiling to make sure he's in the right position. He readjusts slightly before drawing a circle around the area, then standing up. This is going to take up a lot of his juice, but it's the best way to take Kate down for a few moments. He actually has the tools he would need to cut through it without magic, but they would make too much noise. He summons up the power he needs and then slams his foot down in the center of the circle. The area collapses with a crash, knocking Kate backwards and burying Peter under debris. Styles jumps down into the room, pulling out his gun and taking aim on the way. But Kate is quick. She throws herself over the table, pulling it with her for cover, and the bullets miss her by inches. Peter bursts out from underneath the wreckage with a snarl, shaking off the impact. Broken handcuffs are dangling from his wrists. You okay? Styles calls over to him, and he nods. They both turn their attention towards the table that Kate has tucked herself behind. She emerges bare seconds later with the rifle that had been sitting on it. Styles already has a handout, activating the shield he's used for years, and the bullet punches right through it, hitting Peter in the chest. He stumbles backwards and lands flat on his back. Styles screams and puts up his other hand, casting the disrupt spell with so much force that the rifle shatters in two. Kate staggers, drops the pieces, and then bolts for the back of the distillery. Styles drops to his knees at Peter's side, seeing the blood start to pool under his body. Peter, can you hear me? Peter's eyes are open, and he coughs out a mouthful of blood but doesn't reply. Styles grabs his knife and slices through Peter's shirt, revealing the neat bullet hole on the left side of his chest. The dark lines already branching out from it. Oh, fuck, Wolfsbane, fuck! You need to get the bullet out, Chris says, kneeling beside him and taking out a knife of his own. A hunting knife, as long as his forearm. And then burn the Wolfsbane out.
We can't, it's too close to his heart, he won't survive!
Somewhere in the back of the distillery, a door slams. Styles' head jerks up, knowing that it means Kate is getting away. We have to, Styles. It's the only way there's even a chance he'll survive. Chris's voice is calm and dispassionate. He, too, is looking in the direction that Kate disappeared in. I'll take care of it, okay? I know how it's done. You go after Kate. Styles shakes his head, looking at the blood all over Peter's chin, the rapidly spreading darkness in his veins. I'll take care of him, Chris says.
I don't fucking trust you,
Styles says, and he realizes that he's crying. Scott skids to his knees at Styles' side.
Trust me, okay? Can you trust me? I'll help Chris. We might not be able to save him, but we'll try, okay? I promise.
Styles looks at Peter. He squeezes Styles' hand and coughs out,
Go.
After a moment of indecision,
Styles nods and gets to his feet. Rage and fear war for control in his body, and by the time he reaches the back door, rage has taken over. He charges out without thought for the consequences, knowing that Kate can't be far ahead, won't have had time to find good cover. He hears a gunshot and throws himself to the ground behind some thick bushes. Come out, wherever you are! Kate calls out a moment later from somewhere up ahead. I know you're still out there. Killed your dad twice. You can't let me get away with that, right? Styles burns with fury, but stays crouched down, waiting. Nice trick, huh? Didn't think anybody knew about your shielding spell. It was pretty obvious once I looked, though. What happened in Massachusetts was a dead giveaway. Bullets ricocheted all over the place. So I got some guy I know to etch some anti-magic into the cartridges for my rifle. And Peter didn't even duck, dumb pieces of shit. Him and your real dad both. Styles slams his hand into the ground, sending a shockwave through it that makes Kate stumble. He leaps on her from behind before she can regain her balance, taking them both to the ground in a tackle. Her gun goes flying from her hand, and Styles sends it skittering further away with another blast of magic. Kate uses his moment of distraction to squirm free, turning and hitting him across the face so hard that he goes sprawling. Then she kicks him in the stomach. He grabs her ankle and twists. She falls, but controls it well, bringing her other leg down hard, the heel of her boot coming down on his hip and narrowly missing his groin. It hurts like hell, but the pain barely registers. Then she does a kip up, getting back to her feet, but unprepared when Styles throws himself into her legs. They wrestle back and forth for what feels like an eternity, both of them fighting for purchase. Styles feels hard plastic jam into his side and only barely pulls away before she fires the stun gun into his side. He grabs her wrist, digging his thumb in, and she grunts and releases it. He manages to twist it around and pull the trigger as it impacts with her upper arm. Her body convulses and he scrambles to his feet, finally managing to pull out his .38. Fuck me! Kate wheezes, rolling onto her back as she recovers from the shock. She sees Styles standing above her, holding his gun and catching his breath, and she raises her hands slightly in a clear surrender. Jesus, kid, you're good. But you know if you kill me, it makes you no better than me. There's a lot Styles wants to say in that moment, about how flawed her logic is, but he knows she doesn't really believe it. She's just trying to talk her way out of what she sees coming. He could take the time to explain, but it would be a waste of breath. And on top of that, it might give her a chance to go for a weapon. So instead, he just shrugs and says, okay, and pulls the trigger. She tries to get up, so he pulls the trigger again, and she stops moving. He walks over cautiously, not getting too close, and fires two more shots into her head. Then wipes his prints off the gun and tosses it a few feet away. It can't be connected back to him, and he doesn't want to risk being caught with it on him. There's a long moment of silence. He realizes that he's exhausted, and he just stands there, breathing for several seconds. There's a part of him that wants to run back to the distillery, but a part of him doesn't want to know. Until he sees for sure, Peter might still be alive. So he just stands there, watching the pool of blood spread around Kate in the dim light. It's not until he turns to go that a voice says, "Don't move." And he blinks stupidly into the forest. Gerard Argent walks over, looks at his daughter's body, and slowly shakes his head. "Couldn't wait for me to get here, could you? Just had to charge in." Styles takes a step backwards, wondering if he can just walk away while Gerard talks to his daughter's body. But before he can take a second step, Gerard's turned towards him. He realizes again how tired he is, how he's unarmed and exhausted and alone. He lifts his hand to use his shielding spell, hoping he still has the juice. But Gerard is faster. He has his gun out and has fired before Styles can activate it, and the bullet goes through his hand, destroying the tattoo. He lets out a shout despite himself and wrenches the hand in his armpit to try to stop the bleeding. "Well, son, I hope it was worth it." 100%, Styles says. And also, fuck you. Gerard's mouth tightens in a thin line. He readjusts his aim slightly, and then a voice yells, "Freeze! This is the police!" Stiles' head jerks around as several uniformed deputies emerge from the trees. Gerard immediately lowers his weapon and says, "Good timing, officers. This man killed my daughter." One of the men comes closer, and Stiles sees that it's Jordan. "Gerard Argent," he says, "you are under arrest for the murder of Denise Lamond, along with extensive fraud charges relating back to the faking of Kate Argent's death." Gerard frowns as Jordan takes him by the elbow. "You've got to be joking. I don't even know who Denise Lamond is." "She's the woman you used as a body double for your daughter," Jordan says, and Stiles sees some of the color drain from Gerard's face. "And you'd better stop talking. I haven't read you your rights yet." One of the other deputies walks over to Stiles and sees that he's bleeding. She gets on her radio and calls for an ambulance. They're all ignoring the dead body lying in the leaves, a fact which puzzles Stiles a little. The deputy helps him sit down while they wait for the ambulance, while Jordan and another deputy escort Gerard back towards the distillery, where their cars are. "Stiles, right?" the deputy says quietly, and he blinks at her. "It's Tara. You probably don't remember me. I had just started at the station when your dad was killed." "Oh," Stiles says. "Is that why they're ignoring Kate's body? Because they remember what she did? Or are they just waiting for the ME and forensics to get here, since she's very obviously beyond help?" "He gave me some really great advice back then," Tara says, "about how to deal with it when another deputy gave me a hard time. I only knew him for a few months, but I've never forgotten him." Stiles wonders what reaction she's waiting for here. If it's tears or gratitude or what. He doesn't know what to give her. He's going numb, barely feeling anything beyond the pain in his hand and a dull sense of fear over Peter's condition. But his silence doesn't seem to bother her. She waves at the EMTs as the ambulance pulls up onto the road and walks Stiles over to them. "Go on, they'll get you taken care of," she says, and Stiles nods. He lies down on the stretcher and closes his eyes. Stiles doesn't know exactly how long he's been sitting in the little room in the ER, but it's long enough that the anesthetic has started to wear off. His hand aches like crazy, and he's cold and exhausted and wishes he could leave. But he can't. In fact, he checks, and there's a police officer outside his door. That explains why nobody's been allowed in to see him, too. He wishes that they would at least let Derek in. He can't stop worrying about Peter, and his stomach is tightly knotted up with fear. After what seems like an eternity, the door swings open, and Jordan walks in. "Hey, Stiles, how's the hand?"
"Hurts," Stiles says, "but I've had worse."
"They give you anything?"
"Some local, but it's worn off. I have a prescription for painkillers, but..."
He gestures to indicate his surroundings.
"I'll be okay. How's Peter? Have you heard anything?"
"Back at the den. It was touch and go for a while, but Laura said she thinks he'll make it."
Stiles lets out a breath of relief that nearly turns into a sob. Now he'll be okay. Now he can deal with the rest of this. "Are we going back to the station now?"
"What? No. Why?"
Jordan frowns at him.
Stiles blinks back, confused.
"I killed Kate. You need to arrest me."
"Jesus, Stiles," Jordan says, pinching the bridge of his nose. "Don't make my job more complicated by confessing. I just got everything straightened out."
Stiles keeps blinking, feeling slow and stupid.
"Huh?" Jordan pulls out a chair and sits down across from him. "Here's what happened tonight. Just listen, okay? Chris found out his sister was still alive. He called in a tip to the police about her location. Kate was shot and killed while resisting arrest. Gerard was arrested both for his role in faking her death and for murder one for Denise Lamond. We've got him dead to rights on that. So if we don't press charges against him for shooting you in the hand, then we don't even have to admit you were there. You were 10 miles away, and your buddy Scott was trying to show you something with his new handgun,
But oops, there was a bullet in the chamber and the gun went off. You were shot in the hand by accident, brought here, and patched up. Gerard can try to kick up a fuss if he wants, but it'll be his word against the word of half a dozen deputies. So it's all good, okay?
Yeah, Stiles says, nodding slowly.
He feels tears stinging at his eyes, and he doesn't even know why.
Yeah, okay, it's all good. How do you have Gerard dead to rights on murder one?
Police work, Stiles, Jordan says, rolling his eyes. I mean, her body was in Kate's grave, but also because Gerard's cell phone data intercepted with hers the day she was killed.
No, sorry, Stiles says. I meant that I didn't even know you guys knew about Denise Lamond.
Peter told Chris, threw it in his face, the way Chris describes it. And Chris told Laura and me. He knew his father wasn't going to go quietly into that good night, so we were taking steps to make sure we could put him away. Laura also called me as soon as Chris left with Peter tonight. Then I called Derek, and he told me where we could find you.
Jordan's voice gentles a little, and he says,
despite what you and Peter seem to think, you weren't in this alone.
Stiles cries harder, then says, I'm sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's just a delayed reaction to the adrenaline. Don't worry about it.
I know. I just...
Stiles stifles another sob.
I just want to go home. I want my dad.
Jordan hesitates.
Peter,
Stiles clarifies, seeing that Jordan is wondering if he's lost his marbles.
I want to see Peter to make sure he's okay. I want to go back to the den.
Right. Okay, Jordan says. Let's get you home, then.
Stiles' legs are trembling, and Jordan has to help him out of his chair. But he steadies out a little as he walks, and Derek is in the waiting room. Stiles practically throws himself into Derek's arms, pressing his face into the crook of Derek's neck. A little more equilibrium returns to him. Derek gives him a brief kiss and strokes a hand over his hair before they walk out to the car. Jordan says he'll be at the station for the rest of the night, taking care of things, and to tell Laura he'll bring breakfast when he gets off shift. Laura lets them in and says, I put him up in my room. So Derek takes him upstairs. Peter is lying in the king-sized bed, looking small against the sheets. Stiles peeks underneath the bandages to see the ugly, discolored wound there. But his breathing is steady, and he's a little pale, but not alarmingly so.
It'll take a while to heal, Laura says, squeezing Stiles' shoulder.
But he survived, so he just needs time.
Stiles nods.
Thanks, Laura, he says, and she nods and leaves the room. Stiles crawls underneath the blankets next to Peter. He stirs but doesn't wake.
He must be really out of it. He's normally a super light sleeper.
He wipes his eyes and says, stay?
Sure, Derek says, lying down next to him. Get some rest. It's over now.
Yeah,
Stiles mumbles and closes his eyes.